You are now listening to The Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.
A lot of times, we try to figure out a political or a logical argument for a political situation. And we don't understand how politics works, maybe. Or maybe we don't understand how human beings work. But I would argue that there's something else that we don't understand. And that's how white people work. And that's why I want to welcome you to The Griot Daily, the only podcast that'll explain why white people don't care. I'm world-famous white peopleologist Michael Harriet, and this is The Griot Daily. A lot of times, we wonder why certain things happen or why things are the way they are. And one of the common refrains is, like, why would, for instance, poor white people vote Republican and vote for against their economic interests? Or why do the white people who cry in after a school shooting and offering their thoughts and prayers, why won't they change the gun laws? Or why do the people who say, ooh, that police beating that I saw on video is terrible and I feel sorry, why don't they fight for police reform? And the answer is simple. Because white people don't care. And I know that sounds harsh. And some people might think it's racist. But it really isn't. See, I'm not arguing that white people don't have feelings. Everybody has feelings. And white people feel things. I don't even argue that white people don't have empathy for black people. Or that they are pro-racist, even though there is a move against anti-racism. What I'm arguing, and I'm trying to explain to you, is that there is a difference between feeling things and caring. There is a difference between having empathy and caring. There is a difference between appearing to not like something and doing something about it. Because people who care about things will do something about it. Like, I remember when I was a kid, right? And I used to have to take the trash out. That was like my big job as a kid, right? I took the trash out and I had to clean the yards. It was like my main responsibilities as the only boy in the house. Well, every other week, stray dogs in our neighborhood would get in our trash can. And so, because I cared about the garbage I had to clean up, I instituted this system where it was very complex. You might not understand this, but I put a brick on top of the garbage lid. You know, the outside garbage can that you have to roll to the street. I just put a brick on it because I didn't want to clean that stuff up. And the dogs couldn't get into it. But then another problem arose, right? So when I would have to roll the trash can out to the street, the garbage men wouldn't take our trash if the brick was on top. Because it wasn't just like a little brick. It was a huge brick, you know, heavy enough to keep the dogs away. So they would just pass by our garbage can when they saw the brick on top of it. Because the garbage men did not care about our garbage. It was just their job to go down the street and empty the garbage cans, but they didn't care about it, right? And they didn't care whether or not the dogs were going to get into our trash can, because it was just like one less trash can they had to empty. They didn't care about our yard. They only were doing their jobs. And if I made their job easier and they had to choose between lifting that brick and doing their jobs, they could just say lifting a brick ain't in my job description. And so every morning I would have to wake up early, push the trash can out to the curb, wait until I hear the garbage man coming, and then run outside and take the brick off. And then one day, sometimes I would forget, man. Sometimes I wouldn't hear the garbage man because I'd be in the bathroom or doing something in the back of the house, and they would just miss our garbage can. And my mom would be real mad because sometimes the garbage would get so high, the dogs would get to the garbage, and then I'd have to clean it up. And she'd make me clean that garbage up, even if I had to, was on the way to school.
This is the Griot Black Podcast Network, breaking news.
Panama Jackson here. There's a lot of trash talking in this episode, so we reached out to Michael's mom to get the real story.
This is Dorothy Harriet, mother of Michael Harriet. Michael is extremely intelligent, but he's also forgetful. His memory is about as long as your little finger. His sisters did everything for him, so his only task in the house was to empty the trash every day, the kitchen trash can. Michael could never remember to empty the kitchen trash can. So every night I would come in his room and I'd say, Michael, I done told you to empty this trash every day. You have to empty the trash and put the lid on so the dogs don't turn it over, because we had dogs in the neighborhood and they would always come and turn our trash over. So every night I'd go to his room and I'd say, Michael, I done told you every day, empty this trash before it gets dark. I remember that I told him all the time.
Well, Mama Harriet, you must have told him enough times, because he's still talking about trash duty even today. All right, man, go ahead and finish.
So I can't tell you how many times, man, I had to sprint in a full sprint like Usain Bolt to school because I had to clean up the garbage out of the yard because the dogs got into the garbage. So one day I missed the garbage bin and they didn't take the brick and they left all our garbage in the can. And so I rolled the trash can back. I didn't tell my mom. Man, all that week I was pressing down that trash in that trash can so I could fit all of that trash in there from, because it's basically 2 weeks worth of trash. And by the end of the week, man, the trash was piled up so high that even when I put the brick on top of the trash, the dogs still got in the trash. And my mama woke up early and saw that trash, 2 weeks worth of trash strewn across that yard. And she woke me up and said, go clean up the yard and push out that trash before the trash man get hit. And I did it because I had to, because, you know, that was my mama. And the whole time I cussed about the dogs and I cussed about those garbage men who wouldn't move the brick off and how lazy they were. And I cussed out about, like, why couldn't we get two trash cans? And my mom said, none of that matters. Because if you cared about the brick or the trash can or cleaning up the yards, then you'd figure it out. And she was right. And if white people cared about school shootings, they'd figure out how to pass gun legislation. Even if the brick of conservative or the Second Amendment was still on top of that trash can. If white people cared about police brutality, they'd figure out how to reform the police. Even if the brick of police unions or Blue Lives Matter kept them out of that, from emptying that garbage that we call police brutality. If white people cared about economic inequality, they'd figure out how to bring about reparations, just like they figured out how to pass out $1 trillion during the COVID pandemic, when COVID was the brick that kept the dogs out of the trash can. If America, if white people cared, they'd take off that brick or figure it out. But white people don't care. They feel bad about police brutality. They feel bad about economic inequality. They feel bad about all of that wealth they stole from slavery. They feel bad about school shootings. But they don't care. Because if you cared, you'd do something. And that's why you got to keep listening to this podcast. That's why you got to tell a friend about it. And that's why you have to download that Griot app. And it's also kind of why we leave you with a saying from Black America every week. And today's saying is, nobody cares, because ain't nobody doing nothing. We'll see you next time on The Griot Daily. If you like what you heard, please give us a 5-star review, download The Griot app, subscribe to the show, and share it with everyone you know. Please email all questions, suggestions, and compliments to podcast@thegriot.com.
Congratulations, Michael, on 100 episodes. We can't wait to see what you do with the next 100. Coming this February, the Griot Black Podcast Network presents Dear Culture, Truish Black Stories.
When you think of sheer artistry, sheer creativity, the ability for someone to bring Black people together in the most fundamental ways, it's, you know, I would say, of my four, Randy Watson's my number one.
When the news about Ricky first broke, what I heard about it is the thing you hear about, you know, every time somebody Black dies, that it was gang related. That means the police don't know what happened, so they just said probably the gangs, probably, you know, the other Black dudes.
When I think of Akilah, you know, I just think about how impressionable white people can be. I think about how, you know, if you watch that movie again, you know, he should have lost like 3 times.
Where were you when you heard the story about them suckers getting served by Wade's dance crew?
You know, it's crazy that you mention this. So as a New Yorker, right, everyone knows where they were on 9/11, right? You know, a couple years later, right, 2003, everyone hears about this crazy moment in a boxing ring, because that's where dancers duke it out, right? In boxing rings.
If you could say something to Ricky right now, what would you say to him?
Ricky, you shouldn't have never got that girl pregnant. You knew I had a crush on you. You should have got with me instead.
Moments in Black culture examined like never before. Join us each week as we dive into the Black moments that changed us, that changed the world. Make sure to subscribe to Dear Culture so you never miss an episode.